happiness. I couldn't see or share this, I can't feel it. How could it be? You're no magic. Happened to me. Then I saw you. I couldn't believe it. You took my heart. I couldn't retrieve it. Said to myself, what's it all about? Now I know there can be no doubt. You can do magic. You can have anything that you desire. Magic. And you know you're the one who can put out the fire. You know darn well when you cast your spell, you get your way. When you lift your time with your eyes, the heart of stone begins to say.
Ministries, everybody, really good to be with you today. I pray that God is blessing you and keeping you no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. Today's sermon is going to be the goddess of fertility, and we're going to be talking about the true meaning of Easter, You know, where did Easter come from? Some say the word Easter is derived from the word Astara. Or Estara, E-O-S-T-R-E. This is an ancient Anglo-Saxon goddess. She symbolizes the rebirth of the day at dawn and the rebirth of life in the spring. The arrival of spring was celebrated all over the world long before the religious meaning became associated with Easter. As Christianity grew and spread throughout the world, it was common practice to adopt and modify existing non-Christian festivals and assimilate them into the Christian theology. Because Estri was a goddess of spring and her symbolism dealt with the renewal and rebirth, the Christian belief in the resurrection of Christ fit well with these themes. So, today, in Christianity, we have come to adopt an ancient Anglo-Saxon paganism religion, goddess religion, into the Christian faith. So what does the rabbit mean in Easter? Well, the rabbit is well known as a sexual symbol of fertility. In various parts of the world, religion, which developed from Babel, also associated the rabbit with periodicity, both human and lunar, Egypt and China. Well, I don't know if you've ever studied the zodiac. If you ever went to a Chinese restaurant, you're going to see a round table of the zodiac. And what you're going to see there is you're going to see a rabbit. Well, the rabbit has a lot to do. And as you remember, the mother goddess, Semiramis, is associated with the moon. In other words, the Easter Bunny symbolizes the mother goddess. Annual springtime fertility rituals are associated with worship of the mother goddess and Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z, the reincarnation of her husband. Very interesting. We took the egg in Easter. It represents the fertility. The fertility and fertility or life of the egg. And we've incorporated into our Christian ways of the resurrection. You know, so what does the egg mean? Well, the egg was a sacred symbol among the Babylonians. They believed an old fable about the egg of wondrous size, which was supposed to have fallen from heaven. And from this marvelous egg, according to the ancient story, the goddess Astarte, Easter, or Semiramis, was hatched. And so the egg came to symbolize the goddess Easter. The idea of the mystic egg spread from Babylon to many parts of the world today. In Rome, the mystic egg preceded processions in honor of the mother goddess Roman. The egg was part of the sacred ceremonies of the mysteries of Bacchus. The Druids used the egg as a sacred emblem. In Northern Europe, China, and Japan, the egg was colored for their sacred festivals. The egg was also a symbol of fertility. Now, Semiramis was the goddess of fertility. That's what Easter is. It's the goddess of fertility. The Easter egg is a symbol of the pagan mother goddess. And it even bears one of the names. Very interesting. Today in America, we have allowed pagan religion, goddess worship throughout all America. There's so many examples that we have allowed goddesses, goddess practices. And Easter is no more than a goddess religion. It's a pagan. Easter is another goddess worship in America. Its origin is witchcraft. And somehow we have mixed the pagan goddess worship holiday with the resurrection of Christ. The egg itself, when we symbolize, it means fertility and life. And, of course, Jesus' resurrection is the life. So Jesus is the life, and egg means fertility and life. So somewhere along the line in history, we thought, well, let's incorporate a pagan religion with a Christian holiday. You know, before the revival of goddess worship in the 1950s, what we had in the 1950s, of course, we had the liberation of women. The American art showed that popular imagination was being prepared for it. And so, for an example, let's look at the Statue of Liberty. It looks like a Greek goddess that is over 300 feet high. The Statue of Liberty is a Greek goddess that is over 300 feet high. And the inscription presents the statue as speaking, and she calls herself the Mother of Exiles. And in 1950, a poster of the Red Cross shows the American nurse and the billowing hooded cape that makes her look like a cross between a nurse and a Greek goddess. She carries a placard which says, "I am the Red Cross of Peace. I heal the wounds of war. I am the refuge from fire, the flood, and pestilence. The love of little children is mine. I am the Red Cross of Peace." So many forms of other different goddesses in America. I don't know about you, but the worship of women, goddesses, Let's go to Wicca, the Wiccan goddesses, the goddess of fertility. Believe it or not, Easter is no different than another pagan goddess worship. It's a goddess worship of fertility. But somehow we have worshiped this evil practice, and we have incorporated it in our mainstream denominational churches, not even realizing it. In 1993, a re-imaging conference was held in Minneapolis. Most of the 2,000 participants at this ecumenical gathering were women. They invoked Sylvia, the goddess of wisdom, calling her their creator. Prayers were addressed to the goddess. One participant said, "I found God in myself, and I loved her. I loved her fiercely." If you want more information about this, you can check out the book Twist of Faith. Well, the broader plans of gender feminism seems to have been most fully articulated, promoted, and implemented among academia. Some feminists have even demanded that the goddess be given parity with the God of the Bible in the university religion programs. This will impact our entire society because universities and colleges are training most of our future leaders, including government, healthcare, and the clergy. So here we have women, this new pagan feminist goddess religion, believe it or not, has somehow wanted to incorporate and say their equality with the God in the Bible. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says it like this: "Every word of God is pure. He," that's capital H-E, "is a shield unto them that put the trust in him." He. God was always referred to as a he and not a she. "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." God was always referred to as a he in the Bible, never referred to as a she, but always a he, a capital H-E. You know, goddess worship is most apparent among neo-pagans. However, it is also common in universities and nursing schools today. It is promoted by the media and is a component of a new age feminist movement. It has infiltrated mainline denomination churches, and its influence can be felt throughout our society. Believe it or not, this goddess of fertility has been infiltrated into our society. So how did this evil come into our society, and how have we accepted it so? Somehow we have accepted pagan religion into our Christian society, and we have come and we have convinced ourselves that the eggs is the same symbol as the resurrection of Christ, and this is simply not so. You know, Easter is simply one of the names of a woman who mightily deceived the world and whose religion has caused untold suffering and misery. She was clearly an enemy of Christianity, and her son Tammuz was also. And they both deceived millions. If you are a Christian, it is not difficult to discern the bizarre deception and confusion that we have today and is already orchestrated and infiltrated into America. For example, notice the embarrassing irony of these traditions, which are practiced innocently by most people. They are repeated year after year because they have become traditional, and their origin is unknown to many. On the day commemorating this holiday, the resurrection holiday, this Easter holiday, Americans roll decorating eggs on the White House lawn and pretend the Easter rabbit hid them. The same ritual is practiced at some Christian churches. Well, in Lancashire, England, on Easter Eve, boys and men have been in the habit of touring the towns and villages as peace eggers, begging for eggs before performing the pace egging or pash Easter play. So each person in a group bangs this red Easter egg, not knowing that is a symbol of the goddess, against the eggs of all the others present in turn, saying, "Christ is risen," and receives in reply, "Christ is risen indeed." the seductive symbols of ancient ungodly religions inspired by Satan have been incorporated into people's everyday lives. Even to this day, continuing to obscure the truth of God, one might wonder if there is a better way for Christians to celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection, the most important of all Christian holy days. You would think that'd be another way to represent Jesus' resurrection, but in retrospect, it seems obvious that would have been a better witness to the world if Christians had not attempted to Christianize pagan celebrations, adopting the name Easter, Ishtar, Semiramis, in remembrance of Christ. Jesus has been obscured by painted eggs and bunnies. Attention has been shifted away from spiritual truth and towards materialism, clothing, products, and candies with the wrong symbolism. Store merchandise. At stores, we see the name of Easter, not "This is the Resurrection Sunday." Go to every store, we see "Have a great Easter." What about, wouldn't it be wonderful to go to our local stores today and see "Have a great Resurrection Sunday"? But we see them sell goods that have nothing to do with Christ's death and resurrection. Christians naively use symbols and practices that unknowingly perpetrate ancient anti-Christ traditions, symbolic customs followed by the same religious cults that inspired the destruction of great numbers of Christians and Jews. I have to be honest with you. The devil is laughing at you today. The devil is laughing at you today. You know, the Bible says it very clear in John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Romans 1:4-5. "And Jesus Christ our Lord has shown to be the Son of God, and God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bring glory to his name." Romans 6:8-11 says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God in the same way." Philippians 3:10-12 says it like this, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold that of which Christ Jesus has took hold of me. In yourself, death to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Matthew 27:50-53. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died was raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people." Matthew 28:1-10 says it like this, "After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and others, the other Mary went and looked at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like that of lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." You know, are you filled with joy on this Resurrection Sunday? Are you filled with joy? Jesus is all about giving life. He raised Lazarus, you know. He said, take off those grave clothes. Take off those grave clothes. You might have some grave clothes of your own life. You might be walking in the grave. There's maybe some part of your life you've been walking in the grave, but God said, take off those grave clothes. On this Resurrection Sunday, I want you to know what it really means to be a Christian and what it really means to follow Jesus. Let's not follow the goddess of fertility. Let's not follow the goddess of fertility, but let's follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, let's celebrate this wonderful, wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Oh, I am.